Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom on this Groundhog's Day weekend. Hoo-wah, I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I fully expect that we'll soon be seeing some significant changes in the leadership in our military. The use of DEI in our military is over. No longer will people be judged by their race or gender, but by their ability and their attitude. We'll no longer be paying for transgender surgery and then paying salary during the recovery and adjustment period. Our military will be getting new leaders who will give us a combat-ready orientation, not a politically correct one. This change will take a while, but I can now honestly recommend joining our military to today's American youth. So joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. What are you thinking about doing in this Groundhog's Day weekend, bro?
Well, I hate to say this. I'm unprepared. I am totally out of groundhog meat, and they're underground right now. So we might have to eat, you know, venison or ham or something for our groundhog dinner. But I suppose I could take a ham, dress it up like a groundhog, and we could eat that.
At least you'd be showing respect for groundhogs on Groundhog's Day.
That's right. I love Groundhog's Day, Colonel. We always watch that movie, Bill Murray, with Groundhog Day. It's awesome.
This is one of my favorite holidays. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the challenges involving Israel. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America will discuss our nation's future. Then General John Tykart will discuss leadership. Boy, is he good at that. Then Glenn Story will present Patriot Mobile, and Navy Vet Teresa Robinson will introduce another female veteran.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel. First, let me comment about the recent crash at Reagan Airport in D.C. We know that an airliner with 63 people aboard and an Army helicopter with 3 aboard collided over the river and all 66 people died. We must keep the families of the victims in prayer. Reagan is a very, very busy airport, busy with both civilian airliners and military helicopters. It's not clear yet who was at fault, but there's a lot of investigation going on. What we do know is that our nation and this airport are very, very short on air traffic controllers. The controller handling this situation was doing the work of 2 people. And apparently there have been a good number of near-miss collisions around our nation, including one the day before at Reagan. Now it's time for the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, our Air Force is moving to arm its Boeing F-15E/EX fighter bombers with the Pentagon's latest ship-killing munition, the long-range anti-ship missile. It's obvious what we're worried about, the rapidly expanding and modernizing Chinese fleet, which is gearing up to fight its way across the 100-mile Taiwan Strait and land troops on Taiwanese beaches. If we're going to intervene, we must do it in the early days of an invasion while Chinese ships are still crisscrossing the strait to deliver people, vehicles, and supplies. Once a large invasion force is entrenched on the island, the outcome may be a foregone conclusion, and a dangerous new era for the world's free countries would have begun. The Air Force is scrambling to hang its best anti-ship missiles on more types of warplane so that we can darken the sky over the Taiwan Strait with enough munitions to drown a Chinese invasion during its most vulnerable period. Our Naval Air System Command late last month indicated that they plan to integrate the Lockheed Martin AGM-158C on 1990s vintage F-15E Strike Eagles and new production F-15EX Eagle IIs. Both models of supersonic F-15 share a similar airframe, but the EX boasts better sensors and radar jammers and expanded weapons carriage.
It's clear that China is preparing to land an invasion force somewhere, and Taiwan is the only logical target.
And less than 465 miles from Taiwan, and home to nearly 30,000 U.S. troops, the Japanese islands of Okinawa would play a pivotal role should Beijing order the invasion of Taiwan. Now, with propaganda and diplomatic outreach, Beijing is carrying out a silent invasion of the southernmost part of Japan as it shapes the battlefield for a potential incursion. Beijing knows that our aircraft and warships would quickly threaten the northern flank of any invasion fleet supported by Japanese forces, and it is aiming to neutralize that danger, analysts say. The Chinese assault on Japan is through the sowing of discord between residents and the national government by playing up economic problems in the nation's poorest prefecture, as well as historical grievances over the annexation of what was then the independent kingdom of Ryukyu in 1879. Chinese state media never misses an opportunity to publicize crimes committed by our military personnel or to highlight the fact that while Okinawa only accounts for 0.6% of Japan's total land area, it hosts 70% of all U.S. military bases in the country, including some of our most sophisticated weapon systems.
I believe that this report is absolutely true. Indeed, Japan has produced a comic book to help counter China's lies. And do you think they have been maybe doing the same thing in our country?
And Kiev's partners are considering the possibility of sending troops to the front line in case of a ceasefire to deter Putin. Paris and London lead a proposal that Spain does not rule out. Alexander, a veteran of the Ukrainian Special Forces, reflects on the peace talks that are already being prepared in diplomatic offices. Quote, Putin will not allow multinational armies here in Ukraine, not even on a peacekeeping mission. The Russians will see it as an intolerable concession because they are currently lying to their population by saying they are facing NATO in Ukraine, which is not true. They are facing the Ukrainians, unquote. This reflection is shared by the vast majority of Ukrainians now that discussions about the truce promoted by Donald Trump have started. Although much of Ukraine sees it as unattainable, it's one of the requests of President Zelensky to obtain the so-called peace guarantees that establish a lasting framework and not just a ceasefire that Putin could break. A significant part of the diplomatic conversation these days revolves around this possibility.
Trump has both sides discussing the ending of the fighting. Exactly how things will turn out is hard to tell, but both Ukraine and Russia know they have to meet Trump's requirements because both nations need a good relationship with America.
And I always thought that terrorists shot other people they weren't shot at. And apparently even dictators have to be careful about being assassinated. Well, Iran has ordered its proxy forces across the Middle East to exercise caution as they fear an existential threat following Donald Trump's return to the White House. Officials have told commanders of Iran-backed militias to avoid provocative actions that could escalate regional tensions. Commanders have also been instructed to maintain defensive positions while avoiding any actions that could be interpreted as aggressive by U.S. forces or regional allies. Ayatollah Khamenei, Iran's 85-year-old supreme leader, even appeared to be wearing a flak jacket at the funeral of two judges who were gunned down in Tehran last month, reportedly over fear of attacks.
Iran is worried about being attacked by us? Given that we now have a real leader in the White House, I guess that's a valid concern for them.
And last month, Israel released 200 Palestinian prisoners and detainees as part of the Gaza ceasefire deal. The release came hours after Hamas freed four young female Israeli soldiers from captivity in Gaza. The four Israeli soldiers smiled broadly as they waved from a stage in Gaza City's Palestine Square, militants on either side of them and a crowd of thousands watching before they were led off to waiting Red Cross vehicles. They were likely acting under duress, with previously released hostages saying they were held in brutal conditions and forced to record propaganda videos. In the days since a fragile ceasefire took hold in the Gaza Strip, Israel launched a major military operation in the occupied West Bank. Israel then released 70 Palestinian prisoners who will not be allowed to return to the Gaza Strip or West Bank, according to Egypt's state-run Qahira TV, which said they had arrived on the Egyptian side of the Rafah border, crossing with Gaza. Egypt served as a key mediator in over a year of talks that led to the truce agreement. Later, buses carrying the remainder of the 200 Palestinian prisoners being released made their way to the city of Ramallah, where crowds of relatives and supporters awaited.
But I really do wonder how four Israeli hostages are exchanged for 200 terrorists. The numbers make no sense to me, but I'm glad the hostages are free. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. We'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. And then we'll talk with John Burns from CVA. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Well, President Trump is clearly in office and very obviously very active. The first world leader to contact him was Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu. Then Trump heard from the heads of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, both of whom had worked with him during his first term. One veteran U.S. diplomat reported that the Egyptian president was, quote, apprehensively thrilled, end quote, by Trump's return. These leaders value Trump's legendary unpredictability and his highly personal and transactional approach to foreign policy, which is much like they do business. They also hope that Trump will be able to contain Israel and end the war in Gaza and find a path for statehood for the Palestinians. The creation of a Palestinian state is unlikely, as it's opposed by the vast majority of all Israelis. This solid opposition is at least partially the fruit of the October 7th attack, with 1,200 people killed plus hostages. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says Israel's response to October 7th has been the killing of over 43,000 Palestinians, at least half of which were women and children. Note that the numbers don't distinguish between civilian and combatant deaths. A point here, the people of Gaza selected Hamas to rule them. Like many people in the world, the Gazans support their nation and their government. Thus, they supported the October 7th attack, and they were involved in holding the hostages. In World War II, for example, we bombed Germany and Japan, targeting military and manufacturing places, but knowing we were hitting civilians. After all, civilians work to keep their nation in the fight. While never primary targets, they are legitimate targets. Remember that Hamas Gaza has been attacking and killing Israeli citizens for generations. Gazans aren't just innocent bystanders. And while most Arab leaders in states that have recognized Israel know that Hamas has brought this misery upon its own people, at least by using them as human shields, these leaders must also tread carefully in light of their own population's fury over the killing of Palestinians in Gaza. The most anxious of Israel's neighbors and allies is Jordan, whose population is between one-half and two-thirds Palestinian, including Jordan's Queen Rihanna. Palestinians on the West Bank are equally concerned about where Israel will go with Trump's support. So, despite the congratulatory contacts, both Jordan's leaders and the Palestinian Authority President Abbas are very concerned about the future. They know of Trump's support for Israel and that during his first term, he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moved our embassy there. All of the area nations who have, at one time or another, attacked Israel are concerned. Indeed, despite the existing security cooperation, the relationships are incredibly strained. And President Trump is seeking to get Saudi Arabia into the Abraham Accords. Now, Egypt has these problems too. Relentless propaganda against Israel has helped fuel the feelings of many of the 116 million Egyptians that their leaders have betrayed the Arab cause. Indeed, Cairo hasn't publicized their close cooperation with Israel's intelligence and the fact that Israel quietly helped President el-Sisi defeat Islamist militants in his decade-long war on the Sinai Peninsula. Thus, Cairo and Jerusalem have long observed what is known as a cold peace, with virtually no contact between the two nations' peoples. Indeed, cold peace is a good description of Israel's relationship with all of its somewhat friendly neighbors. And it's gotten hot on occasion. Last May, Egyptian forces posted at the Gaza border opened fire on Israeli forces, and two Egyptian soldiers were killed. Since then, Egypt has demanded that Israel leave the Philadelphia Corridor, a narrow strip of land along the Gaza border with Egypt. But Netanyahu wants to stay there to prevent Hamas remnants from arming via smuggling in the Sinai. Egypt claims to have destroyed over 1,500 tunnels along the Gaza border. Israel claims there are at least 50 more, but both know that most of the smuggling takes place with Egyptian knowledge, either because of negligence or bribery, at the Rafah crossing, which Egypt controls. One reasonable solution involves UAE's offer to take over and run Gaza. They will ensure that no radical Islamist movements will be permitted. But this would require an invitation to do so by the Gazans. This sounds good, but will it ever happen? So, the Middle East remains a mess. It would be much better if the non-Israelis would decide to stop attacking and killing Israelis, but killing non-believers seems to be a big part of their lives. And all these countries are dictatorships, so that controlling the people is a vital thing for the leaders. I hope President Trump's support for Israel and his excellent negotiating skills will be able to bring at least some peace to this region. It would certainly be good for everyone living there. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom and sacrifice and courage to our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military veterans and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits. That's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. You can get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
In the past year in and around the Red Sea, U.S. Air Force F-16 Vipers have been using 70-millimeter laser-guided rockets to shoot down Houthi drones. In October 2023, the Iranian-backed Houthis in Yemen began launching drones, missiles, and other attacks against both foreign warships and commercial vessels in and around the Red Sea, and also targets in Israel. These 70-millimeter laser-guided rockets come at a bargain basement price of under $20,000 apiece. In comparison, the unit cost of a current generation Sidewinder missile is $420,000 apiece. And the advanced medium-range air-to-air missile, that has a price tag of more than $1 million apiece. Now, the only difference between the guided and the standard unguided 70-millimeter rockets is that they insert a guidance and control section in between the warhead and the motor. So now they can have a lower-cost precision-guided munition that can be created from existing components and provide a variety of different effects depending on the warhead and the fuse that's being used. For example, the U.S. Navy said it was about to start delivering a new proximity fused warhead specifically optimized for counter-drone use and fired in surface-to-air mode, which has already been combat-proven in Ukraine. These new guided rockets are usable against drones as well as subsonic cruise missiles. So it gives pilots a lower cost option over the existing air-to-air missiles. The laser-guided rockets also offer valuable capacity by putting 7 missiles in one pod. That is more missiles and rockets than a normal F-16 can carry with everything else attached to it. So this kind of thinking should make Elon Musk pretty happy, as it's a way of doing more with less government money. For Frontline to Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoyed that. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll discuss leadership with General John Tykert. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
From ensuring veterans get the care they deserve, to ending our nation's endless wars, to targeting out-of-control spending, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing America.
You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Truth, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome to the show veteran John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America. John's their strategic director, and he plays a big role in the way that CVA supports we veterans and our nation. Welcome, John. Thanks for joining us.
Well, as always, Denny, thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
John, start by telling us about your time in uniform. When and why did you join? What did you do? Where did you serve?
So I joined. I was a little older than most people. I'm going to show my age here. I joined a couple of years after high school during the first Gulf War, just as Desert Shield was kicking over to Desert Storm. I had a lot of guys that I went to high school with who were already serving in the military. And I felt like with them lining up on the line of scrimmage there to face off with Saddam's folks, I had to join the military, right? So I joined the Marine Corps in January of 1991. Can't believe it's that long ago. Did my 4 years, missed the Gulf War, ended up in Somalia for a couple of weeks, got out, was happily working, running a restaurant, and I just really wanted my college education. So I ended up joining the National Guard in the year 2000, and I saw a lot more action in the decade following that than I did in the Marine Corps. In fact, I joined the New York Army National Guard. So my first deployment with the National Guard was to Ground Zero in Manhattan.
Wow. So you got a lot more than you bargained for. Is that a fair statement?
I thought I was going to have weekends, 2 weeks in the summer and a paid for college tab. I ended up spending 2 weeks at home some years and a lot of weekends overseas.
Well, when our country calls, that's what happens. And it's always interesting to hear people's stories because for most of us, we don't fall into the typical gag anyway. So how did you hear about or get involved with Concerned Veterans for America?
Well, that's a pretty long story, but before I went to Afghanistan in 2008, I had been involved with an organization called Vets for Freedom, which you might have heard of recently. Mm-hmm. And I went to Afghanistan in 2008, got back at the end of 2008, and my wife, well, then my fiance, and I moved out of New York City and down to North Carolina, the Raleigh area. And I was still involved with Vets for Freedom. I was working, hadn't really fallen into a new career there in North Carolina. And in the summer of 2012, certain current Secretary of Defense called me and said, what are you doing? I got a gig thing. And, if you're not happy with what you're doing, maybe you could do this new gig with Concerned Veterans for America. And so I said, count me in. And I've been here for 12 years since, almost 13 this summer.
You know, isn't it interesting how life goes on and usually it doesn't follow some plan that we have?
Not at all.
Okay. What's your role in CVA right now?
So as you mentioned in the intro, I am the strategic director. I'm the strategic director at the national level. I work with our internal capability partners, so our comms team, our policy team, our government affairs team, to maximize our strategic advantage or comparative advantage in order to bring about the policy changes and the goals and initiatives that we want. So I kind of, I'm a coordinator, a little bit of a chief of staff, a little bit of a spokesperson, a little bit of a utility infielder.
So anytime something needs doing, they can tag you.
Yes, I'm a project manager for any project that doesn't have a head when it needs to get done shortly. So what needs to get done, I get done. So
hey, I understand it. And that's the kind of people that good-sized organizations need a bunch of. So I appreciate what you're saying, though I've never been exactly where you are. Okay, what's the overall purpose, mission of Concerned Veterans for America? Why do you exist?
So we've always leaned into the four, Concerned Veterans for America. We started, like I said, in the summer of 2012, we kicked off operations, and we were looking at a variety of issues at the time. The economy, how debt affects national security. National security has always been very important to us. How the VA was treating veterans, that's always been very, very important to us. What military readiness vis-a-vis national security look like? Did we have the right strategy? But Concerned Veterans for America exists in order to mobilize veterans, military family members, and interested patriots to work for America, to find those bottom-up solutions, to find those small government solutions, to right-size the government, and to drive a growth-focused economy and growth-focused economic policies, as well as sound policies for veterans and sound national security policies.
Wow. So you guys exist to help make America, or let America be what America is supposed to be? Is that a fair summary?
That would be exactly the way I would put it. A lot of veterans organizations out there do great work for veterans. We're organizing veterans to kind of step up and continue that service that, you know, there's so many of us get out of the military and we're like, okay, what next? How do I help? And we offer that lifeline, that hand, into continuing service in the civilian world.
Well, I certainly understand that. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America. Okay. I know that one of Concerned Veterans for America's key issues, I think forever, has been for our nation to avoid endless wars. And it seems that now we have a president who agrees with that. Will you discuss that issue?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Concerned Veterans for America, you said it, we want to end endless wars. That's been the president's choice of language. It's been our choice of language. We call ourselves and the team we belong to Restrainers, and we're firm believers in American security. We're firm believers in a strong, dominant American military. We're firm believers in America securing its own borders first. American strength should be used for American interests. And we just think that so many of our deployments of troops overseas, so many of our engagements, so many of the expected security guarantees, alliances that sometimes when there aren't alliances, partners think that we owe them, puts a burden on the American military, puts a burden on the American taxpayer, puts a burden on the American economy. And, you know, we could point to dozens of examples from the trillions that we poured into Iraq and Afghanistan to the billions that we're pouring into Ukraine today, that if it had been used wisely here at home, you know, maybe there wouldn't be people in Western North Carolina in January living in tents. Maybe there wouldn't be people in California made homeless by enormous wildfires. Our infrastructure would be better. So we think that America should be strong and secure, but we also think that our military should be used focused on keeping America strong and secure here at home.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't open my house to strangers. Why would I open my country to strangers? And certainly, the last time our nation declared war was World War II, and we We knew what winning was, and we won.
We deployed the very last declaration of war was on Hungary, I think, during that war, if I remember correctly, right? We were already at war with everybody else in the Axis. Uh-huh. So we wanted to make sure we swept them in it as well.
You know, so I've always felt that if we're going to go to war, and I don't mean a three-day police action, something, but if we're going to go to war, Congress needs to declare war. And that means identifying who the enemy is and what victory looks like so that we know. Otherwise, well, I'm a Vietnam vet. I was just a forerunner for some of these other wars that we didn't declare war on and didn't know how to win.
And didn't learn our lessons from.
And well said. Very well said.
We were in Vietnam, you know, depending, and it always depends on how you count these, right? In some ways, we've been involved in Iraq now for 30 years or so. Over 30 years. Vietnam, you know, go back to the French. We were there for close to 30 years, right? If you count assisting them in the 40s and the 50s. But this idea of nation building, it's not what our military is designed to do. We tried to do it in Vietnam. We failed. We tried to do it in Iraq, and we continue to fail there because we still have some forces there trying to do it. And we did it in Afghanistan, and we failed big there. So it's time for us to learn that lesson, and hopefully we're in a position here in 2025 with a lot of new faces, a lot of new ideas in the foreign policy and national security realm, where maybe we can start to execute some of this.
Yes, sir. There's more to discuss about our nation's security, and John is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I went and do 103 push-ups. That's how many I used to do before I got into my 80s. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com, 10% off promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America. John, what are the big issues to CVA? I'm sure no endless wars are. That's why we sort of started there. What are some of the things that you're hoping for or are seeing now that CVA believes our nation needs?
Well, you know, we have kind of three major focus areas that we're working on for 2025. And the first one is provide for a strong national defense with a prudent foreign policy. We talked about that a little bit in the last segment. We also really want to protect the conditions of our prosperity. Protect prosperity is going to be a key issue in 2025. And then, of course, we made our bones, as it were, protecting and trying to expand veterans' healthcare choices. So we want to continue that mission because there, under the last administration, was a real attempt and effective in many ways at rolling back those VA healthcare choices, those community care options for veterans. So those are the three big things that we want to work on. And we did talk a lot about strong national defense. So just to touch on the conditions of our prosperity real quickly, obviously, you know, we've been saying since 2012, backing up Michael Mullen, who said it, I think, in 2008, 2009, that the national debt is the greatest threat we have to national security, right? So we've got to wrap our arms around our spending habits, our deficit spending, and the way that that drives debt. And then coming into 2025, you know, huge issue with the expiration of the 2017 tax cuts under the Tax Cuts and Job Act. We think that that absolutely needs to be extended so that middle-class Americans don't suddenly get a tax hike in 2026 that they're going to be shocked at, and it'll diminish growth. And then finally, under that kind of protect our prosperity, we're finally in a position again to unleash American energy production, which is another issue or another kind of part of our economy, subset of our economy that can drive enormous growth and really, really strengthen America's economy.
I can't disagree with you one bit on any of that. I mean, we're spending more money paying the interest on the national debt than we are funding our military. I mean, that's just paying the interest. We got to do something about that, or it doesn't make any difference what we want to do. We won't be able to afford it. That's crazy. So yeah, I totally see that. And that's going to involve all kinds of things. I personally like the fact that President Trump says he's going to look at reducing the size of the federal government. That's a good start, in my opinion.
You know, anything that can work to kind of get that deficit spending down. And of course, as we talked about last segment, we work very, very hard and very, very focused on the national security side, the defense side. So it's not the biggest bucket in the federal government, but there's a lot of cost savings to be had by building efficiencies into that department as well, Department of Defense. You know, huge, huge drain on our government spending there. You just look at what happened with those Ticonderoga class cruisers that they spent, I think, $4.5 billion to upgrade, and none of the upgrades were manageable, were actually installed, and they ended up so far cutting one of those cruisers out of the inventory. So you spent $4.5 billion to upgrade two cruisers that don't work, and an Aegis cruiser only costs $1.5 billion to build new. So it makes you wonder, you know, where this money is going and who's getting the benefit out of it, because it's not the taxpayer.
Well, one of the things that's clear is that the Pentagon has never balanced its budget. It's never been able to pass an account assessment. So if that's true, at least some of that money is likely going some places it doesn't need to go. So just getting on top of that is going to be a huge issue. And I don't know that it'll save any money, but at least we'll know where the money's going. And by the same token, while I totally support Ukraine and their issues, we're just pouring money on them. We don't know where that money goes. We can't do things like that. We shouldn't be, should we?
No, we shouldn't. And on top of pouring money into, you know, like pouring gasoline into a conflagration, we're also drawing down valuable stockpiles of munitions here in America, everything from artillery shells to high altitude anti-air, anti-missile missiles between Ukraine and Israel. And it's damaging our military readiness. And of course, you know, that's also money that could be going to helping veterans. And we're hoping to see from the administration the same accountability and spending relief that they talked about with the general budget and with the military auditing and bringing new accountability to the Department of Defense, which I know the new administration is very interested in. We're hoping that they'll be a champion, just as President Trump was during his first administration, around issues with the VA and with that accountability culture and protecting choice over there. We have issues with both, right? The Biden administration's VA under Secretary McDonough narrowed the aperture incredibly for veterans who are seeking to get healthcare outside the VA using those community care options that were signed into law and regulation during the Trump administration. And of course, you've seen that the accountability with senior executives and regular employees at the VA has just, again, been trashed over the last 4 years.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with John Burns. Okay, John, I taught American government for 15 years at local college, and majority of my students didn't know anything about American history. My standard question for them was, for the first day of class, was, why do we celebrate the 4th of July? In 15 years, I had one student who knew. We've got a group of kids coming along who, because of their parents and the education system, they don't know a lot. They're not dumb. A lot of the kids said, yeah, I love my country, but what can I do? I think CVA is a tool that those people who wish to serve their country but aren't sure what to do can plug in. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talked about all the problems that we've seen that were certainly exacerbated over the last 4 years, you know, reckless government spending, inflation, both a retrenchment in some cases that was forced upon the last administration, but then an overextension of American forces into other conflicts and keeping them in places they shouldn't be. It's an untenable situation, and every American should be concerned about where we are today. There's certainly some hope. There's a path to a better future. Americans can begin to engage. We've seen them decide that they wanted a radical change in government. But just because we changed the government in November and it's now taken effect this month, we still need to do a lot of work. There's still a lot of work to do to encourage those new members of Congress to make the right decisions, to have those new members of Congress enforce constitutional authority over warmaking, to have them right-size the budget, right-size spending, extend those tax cuts. And Americans can't give up now. They have to engage. And one of the ways they can engage is joining with Concerned Veterans for America. It's real easy. All you have to do is go to your computer, type in Concerned Veterans for America. You get the website cv4a.org, CV letters, Charlie Victor 4 Alpha, cv4a.org. And just hit the take action button. And all of these issues that you and I talked about, there's ways to tell your congressmen and your senators to do what we're asking them to do on this. There's ways to sign petitions that you can send or we can send to the White House and to Congress. There's ways to engage locally. If you do that, somebody will be in contact and say, hey, can you help out with this? Can you help out with a local event? Can you help out with a visit to a congressional office locally? But we really need folks to engage because we're at a tipping point, right? We can either in the next 4 years really drive that American vision and be better than we've ever been. But if Americans don't engage, it's not going to happen. We really need to drive that change today.
You know, that's absolutely true. We need our elected officials at all levels need to be held accountable. And accountable means the people who voted for them checking with saying, hey, how'd you vote on that? Or why do you vote that way? It's so easy to rationalize your way around things unless people are holding you accountable. And that's what we citizens have to do. It's our country, right?
100%. Because if citizens aren't saying it, there's plenty of other interests that are, and they're not saying what citizens want.
Well said. So people can plug in, learn more, cv4a.org, or just Google Concerned Veterans for America.
Perfect. That's it.
John, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments and for your continuing service to our nation. We've got
Benny, thank you so much for having me on. I always enjoy talking to your audience. I always enjoy talking to you. And we really do need to get the word out. There's an opportunity here, but we can't just drop the ball.
Well said. Very well said. Thanks again, bro.
Thank you, sir.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing leadership with General John Tykert. Then we'll meet Glenn Story and learn about Patriot Mobile. And Teresa Robinson will introduce another female veteran. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag on military history and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the U.S. Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have a weapon for defense of your family and yourself and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.